It's a story that captivated the nation.
Two brothers and their sister are on the run from authorities tonight.
Three close-knit siblings known as the Dougherty Gang go on a 15-state crime spree evading police for 8 days.
Police say the trio have a stockpile of weapons, and at least one of them has made it clear he's not afraid to die.
They're like modern-day Bonnie and Clyde.
Listen to the Dougherty Gang every Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, this is Maddie and Kenzie Ziegler, and we have a podcast called Take 20. We want to kick back and hang out with you, but we know you're busy, so let's take 20 every week to talk, to vent, to get real. 20 minutes to catch up and talk about everything that's on our minds and yours. Listen with us for 20 minutes when you're in the car, putting on makeup, working out, cleaning your room, avoiding doing your homework. Take a break from whatever you have to do and hang out with us. Listen to Take 20 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The thing is like, I'm really hairy, like, everywhere. Like, the only place I don't have hair, like, trying to grow is the top of my head and my palms. Like, yeah. Everywhere else, I am covered in hair.
Hello and welcome to Bald Talk, the podcast where two bald comedians interview bald actors, musicians, chefs, TV personalities, and really anyone bald about being bald. I'm Charlie Sanders, and I am bald as hell.
And I'm Brian Husky, and I am bald as can be.
Brian, we have an amazing guest today. Our guest is the owner of Charm City Cakes in Baltimore and Charm City Cakes West in Los Angeles. He is the host of the shows Ace of Cakes and Duff Takes the Cake on the Food Network. He's the author of the cookbooks Ace of Cakes and Duff Bakes. He also, on a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives I watched last night, made and ate one of the most ridiculous sandwiches I've ever seen on that show that has a lot of ridiculous sandwiches. Brian, our guest is Duff Goldman.
Welcome to the show, Duff.
Yeah. How's it going?
How you doing?
I love that last credit. That is probably your greatest legacy is going to be that.
An eater of ridiculous sandwiches. I am an accused of worse. I like that.
So Duff, you're bald, just like us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You know, I was in college and I was out to dinner with my dad and he's looking at me and he was like, "Are you going bald?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think so." He was like, "What's wrong with you?" And that
was it. Wow. And, you know. That gives us a real insight into your upbringing. And
yeah, he was super mad at me. I was like, what? I mean, but he was like, "You wear hats too much." What he didn't know is that I had dreadlocks at the time. And it was like before, you know, I had dreadlocks and it really kind of like sort of, I think, hastened my balding. So when I, you know, got rid of them and my hair was kind of growing back, it grew back much less full than it used to be. And I think the disgustingness of having dreadlocks dissuaded my hair from growing.
Your hair wanted to get off your head.
Yeah. It was more as like from fly droppings and stuff. Resting in your head that killed it.
Yeah. Old. Decades of weed smoke locked into the dreadlocks.
I had a roommate in college who it was precipitated by, you know, when you're in your 20s or you don't know that you're 19 or whatever, you don't know you're depressed, but he was depressed and he just sort of stopped bathing. Stuff kind of, but it was fine because we were playing in a band together, so he could be dirty. And they started to grow dreadlocks, but the process of making it was so disgusting.
Yeah, what goes into it?
Gross.
It was just like, you just don't bathe. You just don't wash your hair.
You couldn't wash your hair. I put like beeswax in it.
Yeah,
I had to like go to these like weird stores and buy like beeswax for hair and. And then like it was in right in the middle of hockey season, so like my hair.
So you were playing hockey with dreadlocks?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So you were sweating it up too.
Smelled like mildew. It was so gross.
Yeah, there's hair gone bad is a unique smell. It really is. Like that, and then if you ever smell burning hair, it is.
Yeah.
Oof. It is the worst. The worst.
Pretty bad. Yeah, like when you light your farts on fire.
Yeah.
Like, similar.
So that's, I mean, again, that is why I chose to lose my hair, because I was like, this is like living near a garbage dump on the top of my head.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. What would your hair be like if you had it? Is it curly? Is it wavy?
You know, straight? What's nice is like the nice thing. One of the nice things about being bald is like my hair never looked good. Ever. Dreadlocks, it looked awful. I look like I look like Gutter from PCU, you know? Right? But like even before that, like I could never comb it. Like it wasn't curly, it wasn't straight. My hair looked good when I was like 5 years old. I had white blonde hair, had a bowl cut, it was super straight. It was like straight out of the 70s. I looked awesome. And then like just it was downhill from there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It never looked good.
Same for me. I had blonde hair when I was a kid. And then by the time I was, you know, 10 or something, it was like a huge, crazy brown insanity.
Yeah. And like my mom was so mad when like my hair started changing colors. She'd put lemon juice in my hair and maybe just stand in the sun. You know?
Wow. Both your parents were pretty mean about your hair, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Wait, so I take it your dad is not bald, right?
No, he's got a full head of hair and he's like a million years old.
That's crazy. That's interesting. Yeah. I don't, my dad had hair too, actually.
Well, it's that thing of like, well, whose side of the family do you get it from? Is it from your mother's side?
My mom's dad had a full head of hair. My brother has a full head of hair.
Yeah, both my brothers Everybody's have full heads hair. Of hair.
I think it sounds like it's dreadlocks.
I never had dreadlocks, and I'm the only bald person in my family.
Maybe I was adopted. I don't know.
Yeah, they never told you. You see your own face on a
book. My brother told me plenty of times. You know, we found you in your basket.
Are you the youngest?
I am, yeah.
Okay, I'm the oldest, so I was the one. Being mean to my younger brother.
Well, you sound like you were pretty accepting of it. Did it send you into a tailspin, or are you just like, meh?
Oh, no. I love, like, as soon as, like, when my dad was like, that I went home, she gave it with a Bic, and I have not had hair since.
You know what I mean? Never looked back. Yeah. That's what I did.
It sounds like your relationship to your hair was just about rebellion, like, in any form. Well, like,
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, the thing is like, I'm really hairy. Like everywhere. Like the only place I don't have hair like trying to grow is the top of my head and my palms. Like everywhere else, I am covered in hair. Have you guys heard of the back blade?
No, but I'm interested.
Oh man, the back blade. So it's basically a Gillette razor, except it's 2 feet long. And the blade itself is like 7 inches wide. And it's shaving your back, and it's awesome.
Wow, that's crazy. So you shave the back hair?
I do, yeah.
Oh, shit, I gotta try that. I'm the same as you. The only place I don't have hair is top of my head and my palms. And I'm an ape. I'm just so fucking hairy.
Yeah, wow. Like the missing link, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You know, and it's just nice. It's nice to groom a little. Like, I get really hot, you know? Like, I mean, if it's not like if it's more than 48 degrees, like I'm just sweating. It's awful. So, you know, it's like I'm covered in fat and fur, and you know, one of those things I can do something about. So I shave it off.
I might have to try that. I have a self-care routine for the head, but I've never thought about shaving my back or anything.
Do you shave your head? Like
I do. I have a little bit of pandemic depression going on right now, but I shave it. Like I picked it like a week ago.
Gotcha.
I'm usually shinily shaved.
Isn't there kind of like I had to shave my chest hair one time.
Yeah,
just like shave it all off, put this ridiculous tattoo on it, and then when it started to grow back, it was awful. For my girlfriend at the time, for me and my t-shirts. I couldn't put t-shirts on and stuff.
Yeah. Why? It was itchy and shit.
Well, it went when it's like this little stubble, everything caught on it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. So like my back hair is a lot finer than my front hair.
Oh,
like right. I'd say chest hair, but it's just everywhere. Yeah. So like, so I use the back blade on my back, and then on the front, like 2 or 3 times a year, I shear myself like a sheep. Right. Oh. And so what I do is I take a clipper, you know, I have clippers cause I'm, you know, I'm always grooming and stuff. And so I put the clippers on a, like the lowest setting, right? Or not the lowest setting, like the highest setting it can be without having like,
yeah, the extension or whatever.
On. Yeah. And that way I'm not taking it down to the skin. So you kind of miss that weird couple of weeks where you're like too long to be smooth and too short to not be Velcro.
Yeah. That's a good move. That's a solid, yeah. That's some good advice for the hairy dudes out there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's, and like, man, shaving it off, like people are like, oh, you need to shave it. It like people like feel weird about it or whatever. Don't feel weird about it. It is so nice when you're a big furball and then you like, you know, take like an hour and you shear everything, you get it all off, man, you feel great. You know, it's like, I feel awesome.
I love when I'm done shaving my head, I always feel great. So I'm like, yeah, gotta do the full body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go for it. Don't be, you know, whatever. Hair.
Speaking of feeling hot from hair, I'm a dude that runs hot. I'm constantly sweaty. I noticed weirdly in the pandemic, I've talked about this like 9 million times on the show. I lost weight because I just started like working out a lot to deal with anxiety and stuff. And I lost weight and I got colder.
Yeah.
I have fat insulation. And at night I'm like, need an extra blankets and shit.
I'm always like, I'm real skinny. You know, I'm real thin. And I'm so scared of my future self because I know I'm going to be one of these grandpas who's got like two sweaters and a fleece zip up and then several socks and stuff and driving everybody crazy. Like, I just want to bump up the temperature in the room a little bit because I'm just always
great grandpa's turning the heat up.
Yeah. Are you guys cold? I'm cold. And I don't know why I'll have, but my you southern have that accent voice. Will be more pronounced.
The skinnier you get, the more your southern accent.
It's true.
I don't know. You know, like when I was a kid, like, you know, like even like if there was snow on the ground, I was still wearing shorts. You know, I was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I just never got it. I'm like, what, like people are like, oh, I'm cold. I'm like, I don't even know what that word means.
You know? That I'm more afraid of cold than hot. I can make it through, like if it's 110, I'm like, okay, fine. But oof. When it cold is one step away from death. So I'm like,
I am exactly the opposite. If it's, you know, like same thing. So I built a gym during pandemic. So I have this like really dope gym out behind my house. And like we live up in the mountains. We live in Topanga. So it's like, you know, it's still Los Angeles. It's nice. But like in the mornings, I mean, it's definitely in the 40s. And like I go out there, take my shirt off, you know, it's great. It's like so 70s. I'm like in my backyard, lifting weights, no shirt on, blasting Rush. Yeah. The only thing I need is like jorts. And I'd be like, it'd just be awesome.
You're living the dream.
Like it's super cold out. My wife would come outside. She's like, there's something wrong with you. I'm like, you know, I could like see my breath. I'm like, what? It's great. Yeah. I feel awesome.
All you need there is like your own homemade weight out of like concrete.
Yeah.
You pour it into a cinder bucket blocks. And stuck it on
some a car without its wheels.
Just like a six pack of Budweiser, like still like I'm drinking the last Budweiser and it still has the six pack ring.
Yeah. Exactly.
And yeah, and during doing the whole curls workout, with the other arm. Entire workout, you have a cigarette dangling from your lip, just like ash all over your chest.
Speaking of building your gym, now on Duff Takes the Cake, you make cakes out of using all kinds of crazy tools, drills, buzz saws, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Have you ever used any hair equipment to make a cake, like a clippers?
Good
question.
Or could you? Would there be something you could do with that?
There's got to be the for the micro work, the tiny like detail,
putting detail into the frosting or something.
I've never done it. I mean, maybe like. I mean, you know what might work is if you needed to make some sort of landscaping for a building or something, and you like laid down a piece of green fondant for the grass, then if you took like a nose hair clipper and sort of
kind
of like created the grass, that might work.
Yep. Yeah, you could use a wall. I use a wall nose hair clipper. It's got that little buzzy spinny thing.
A little peanut.
Oh yeah,
use
right.
The peanut.
I got the little scissors that look like a bird.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Got a pair of those too.
I just like I have this like I don't know what you call it. It's like a waking nightmare of the like nose hair clippers, I just feel like at some point there's going to be like an ingrown hair inside my nose that is somehow attached to my brain, and it's going to get caught in the thing, and mm-hmm. it's going to yank my brain out of my nose. I just have this like irrational fear of nose
hair. Yeah, so your irrational fears are based on like, they're like cartoons. They're all sort of like that, and an anvil is going to fall on your head. And you're
just right. You're going to walk off a cliff and be like, oh no, what am I doing? You know, yeah.
Look down, they fall.
Try and jump through a fake Acme hole on the side of a building.
Totally.
Wait, let me ask you. So when did you transition from being a Baltimore baker to TV? And was that, in doing that, were you sort of like, oh man, I'm bald. Am I going to be on TV? Is this cool? Or are you just like, it just things sort of happen. You're like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. Good question. It's funny. Like I've always been like very, like no basis in reality, but just for some reason, pretty confident, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And,
well, it's the support you got from your mom and dad, clearly.
Right. You know, they beat me down so bad. I'm like, yeah, nothing hurt. I'm the best thing that's ever. And so I think when we started filming Ace of Cakes, it's like really like when I was like first like on TV on a regular basis. And I don't know. I mean, if you go back and watch that show, I mean, you can kind of tell nobody on that show, not me, not anybody else that worked in the bakery, nobody cared that we were being filmed for television. Like, and not like in a bad way. We were just at work doing our jobs.
Yeah.
And they were filming it.
That's which the best weird. Way.
To yeah. Be, yeah. And you know I mean, that's why that show was so good, I think, was because mm-hmm. like we weren't like, hey, so, oh, I'm going to drop this cake.
yeah.
You know, like, you know, it was none of that. It was just sort of like, you know, we were all like Baltimore art hipsters and mm-hmm. we couldn't seem too interested because that wasn't cool.
Right.
So, like, I mean, we just wore whatever. Like, we dressed however we dressed. And, like, when the cameras were off, like, everything that you see on TV was still happening. So I think that, like, being, like, fat and bald, you know, I was like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of fat, bald dudes out there. You know what I mean? Yep. I got an audience.
I am one of them.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you know what? There was a little lull there in the conversation, which is the perfect place to place this commercial. So we'll be back in a second. Talking Bald, yeah!
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Football is back, and the best bet you can make is downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to gambling or an old pro, FanDuel has something for everyone. And as an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you know your bets are safe. There's also never been a better time to use FanDuel, because right now, you'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. You can even turn a small wager into a big payday with a same-game parlay bet. Just sign up with the promo code Spotify to place your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when there are parched or windy conditions out there, you gotta be extra careful with things like burning yard waste. After all, wildfires can start anywhere, even in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and I'm the host of The Daily Dive, a daily news podcast covering some of the top stories of the day. Every morning, I'll connect you with the writers and journalists who know the story, so you can stay up to date and make informed decisions. On the podcast, we'll give you the latest on the pandemic and vaccine mandates, keep you in the loop on the world of politics and how it affects you, and give you the lowdown on tech and entertainment. Catch a fresh episode of the podcast every Monday through Friday. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Listen to The Daily Dive on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only on Bald. And we're back. We're trying new transitions. We're trying new ways of formatting. That one felt like we were
part of. That was actually kind of good. I think you're starting kind to get good.
It felt like we had a studio audience that we had to sort of let them know or something.
We're still
really soothing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you went into kind of like a PBS voice.
Yeah, I wasn't old Brian. It wasn't this one.
That's who has to throw the commercial next in our next commercial.
All right, shut up. We gotta go to commercial. God, it's cold in here.
Is that Jeff Sessions? That would
could be. I hate marijuana.
Dovey, when you said like the Baltimore sort of art scene, I love Baltimore. It is such a rad town. I went there when I was working on Veep, the first three or four seasons. So I would get excited to work, but just the chance to go and just wander around, because I'm from North Carolina, and it has that kind of southern city that is like, I like how weathered it is. I like how it's, and it feels like. It feels like it has a lot of like secret pockets to it, you know?
It does. Baltimore is a cool city.
Yeah. So did you kind of come out of the art scene there? Like, or did you always want to be a baker?
No, it was weird. So I went to college. I grew up in Massachusetts, and then I went down and played hockey at UMBC and where my hair stank. And then, so that was the first time I ever like, I just wanted to like, I wanted to get out of Massachusetts and go somewhere else. Like, I'm from a real small town. Everybody that I like went to high school with, like, they either didn't go to college or went to Amherst. It was just like, that was it. So I was kind of like, you know, let's like try something new. And so I just like went somewhere where I didn't know anybody and ended up in Baltimore. And I just loved it. You know, I'm a musician. I was in bands, you know, and so we kind of like, there's a very healthy music and art scene. Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It's very vibrant, very alive, and very fertile. And so and then I left for culinary school. You know, I graduated and I moved out to California to go to culinary school. And then I kind of like sort of worked all over the place, you know, all over the country. And then eventually made my way back to Baltimore. And some friends of mine were like, yo, this band needs a bass player. And I was like, all right. And so like, you know, I tried out for this band. I got in. And we started doing really well. You know, we were like opening for some pretty big bands and we were like getting looked at by some labels. And it was like, oh, damn, this might actually happen. Mm. You know, like everybody's dream. And so I quit my job. I was a personal chef for a family. And I quit my job and started making cakes in my apartment just as a way to sort of pay the rent until, you know, my big advance from the record company show.
Until BMI stepped in. And
yeah. I'm still waiting.
It's in the mail. Days.
But that was kind of how, like, you know, so that was sort of like the way the bakery started was as a way for me to pay the rent so I could do the thing I wanted to do, which is be in a band.
Right.
Then my, so I don't know if you guys know Jeff, my sous chef. So we went to college together. He's a musician. He was working as an architectural model builder at the time, and he wanted to quit that job. So he started working for me so he could play music full time. Mm-hmm. And then another friend of ours, this kid, Chris, who's just amazing guitar player, really good composer, just insane musician. He was like, man, you guys are doing it. I want to do it too. So he quit his job. He was a indoor landscaper.
Oh, what is that?
Man, that sounds like a porn star.
Well, like, you know, you go into like an office building and there's plants.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the guy.
He's the guy that comes in and goes, put the fern to the left.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he did. There. And he was like, yeah, screw this. So he started baking cakes. And then just like through, you know, various sort of groups that we knew, like all over the city, like there was this one group called Fluid Movement. And what it was, it's like this kind of art collective of a bunch of people. And every year they put on a giant synchronized swimming event with like not professionals, like me.
You know, a lot of depth.
Yeah, just here, like, right? You know, they get a bunch of like the weird hipsters from town and they, you know, they put on this humongous production every year. It's fantastic. And so what happened was, like, as I started growing, I had a van and Jeff would always do the sound for him. Like, he would set up the PA and he would do all the sound. So basically, like every year, all of my employees were involved with these guys.
Right.
And I would have to shut down for a week and, you know, like give them my van, give them Jeff, give them, you know, like all my stuff. And then just like through that, like we met a lot of other people that were sort of artistic and looking for jobs. So that's just kind of how the place grew. It was very organic. Wow. And it was like, you know, somebody would be like, oh, Duff, like my boyfriend needs a job. You know, I'm like, all right, you know, yeah. Hire him. You know what I mean? And so tired. That's kind of like, that's how we grew. Like one of, so they had this artist working for me, her name's Katie Rose. And she was like a junior in college and she was working for me. She's like, hey, my boyfriend needs a job. He just wants to like sweep the floor. So he came in and started sweeping the floor. And he is now my, like, I don't know, like director of business development. Like he's like,
wow, really? That's amazing. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. He's like, and I've just like seen him grow from like this punk ass dude who used to sweep the floor and blast music to like this. He's insanely smart and just, you know, he's super great. And so we have like a good culture, you know what I mean? Of like, yeah. Yeah, we all really care about each other. And, you know,
it sounds like forever. You coming from, you know, a band, the band culture, the kind of musician, it sounds like it has that vibe to it. Cause I used to play in a band and, you know, we do improv and comedy and stuff. There's a lot of similarities in people sort of recognizing other people like, oh yeah, you're cool. I like hanging out with you. I understand that you might need some work and helping people out. And it's cool. I think it's a good model for, you know, how to do a business.
It really is. I mean, that's, you know, one thing, like, you know, I have employees that have been with me for, 17 years.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't it crazy when you say that? Or you're like, yeah, I've known this guy for 20. Wait, hold on. Oh, God. 20 years.
I'm old.
Yeah. I mean, if my business was a child, it would be in college now.
Yeah. Whoa, it would be giving your business would be giving you shit right now.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You'd be going, hey, you're bald.
Exactly what it's doing now. You're going. Emptying my bank account and making money.
Is it weird to you that this is where you are? Not weird to you, but you know what I mean? Like knowing where you started and you're like, I'm going to be a band. I'm going to bake some cakes on the side. And now you're doing bald talk. I mean, I guess that's...
You've reached the apex of your career.
That's the thing.
I don't know. I mean, I think if I was like, maybe if I was like more self-reflective, it might be weird. But mm-hmm. I think I kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, life is funny, man. You know, it's like you when you're a little kid, you look at your parents and you're like, man. Guys, like they just know all this stuff. Like mm-hmm. they figured it out. And then like now my parents' age, and I'm like, they didn't know shit.
Oh my God, no.
You know? No. And like they were completely winging it the whole time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's just kind of what you do. You're winging it. You figure it out. And so it's like, I mean, life is great. You know, I really can't complain. And yeah. So you know, like. Yeah, cakes.
Yeah. I knew. Yeah, I know, totally.
It's so weird. I mean, if you'd said that I'd be, my job would be doing a bald podcast with Husky during a pandemic, I would have thought you were insane. Mm-hmm. But here right. we are.
Yeah.
But this kind
of scratching that racket?
What's that?
Is there good scratch in that racket?
It's okay. No, we're waiting to get the commercials.
Yeah, it's much better during pandemic. It really goes up. Like, that's really. Good.
Man.
Yeah, it is strange. Like I have found like the things that I have planned to do are not the things I ended up doing.
Yeah,
and it's always better that way because it kind of sometimes the decisions you make are like I have to do this comes from the wrong place.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Totally. I tell like when I get like, you know, I do a lot of like public speaking. I talk mm-hmm. to children. I talk to kids a lot, and you know, all ages. And one of the things that I really try to sort of hammer home, especially the kids are like, I want to go to culinary school. I want to be a cake decorator. I see what you do. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen, go to culinary school. That's fine. But don't go in there thinking that you want to be a cake decorator. Go in there with just an open mind because you might be so focused on wanting to be a cake decorator that you're not going to pay attention in like the butcher shop. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to like miss this thing. Like you might love butchering meat. You know, you yeah. just, you don't know. And so, you know, I think it's like, you know, if you keep your options open, you know, like you tend to sort of gravitate to the things that you like and that make you happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I was so focused on like being a musician, like I would be that guy. I'd be working at Kinko's with an eyebrow ring, you know, and like full sleeve tattoos and like talking about, oh man, we got to show up at Scranton.
gotta unpack the cakes from the van.
I got to see if my boss let me off.
It's a $200 guarantee, so I can't pass it up. I got to take it, man.
You know, like, and you know, and it's just like, you know, it wasn't in the cards. I'm not that good.
Mm-hmm. It's really funny. I mean, that is great life advice. It is so true. I have found my career goes to best places when I'm not going, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm just open to whatever comes along creatively, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You know, and it's like, and look, I love playing music. I love it. I love music. I love it like more than the average bear. Music means a lot to me. I love playing it. I love listening to it. I love looking at it. I like going to shows. I just love it. I love the culture. I love everything about it. But it's kind of like, you know, me playing hockey. I'm terrible at it, but I liked it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I played football. I wasn't very good. I'm not a great athlete, but I loved playing football. Yeah. You know, and so it's, you know, same thing with music. I still play. You know, we have a all chef cover band called Frog Rock.
That's an amazing name.
Yeah, it's fun. I wanted to be called Bread Zeppelin. They weren't having it. But like, one of my pandemic activities, you've been in a band. Like when you're the bass player, whenever the drummer would stand up, you would sit behind the kit and like play some beats, right? Because you're like, man, I love playing the drums.
Yeah.
And I've always loved playing the drums. So, you know, when the pandemic hit, I was like, that's it. I bought a drum kit. And I've been playing the hell out of it. I'm never going to be a drummer in a band. I'm fine with that. I just love playing the drums.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great. Yeah. That's such a great... I'm gonna take some of that attitude because I think that's really good advice.
You know, it's okay. You know, have you seen... there's a really good comedy special. And it's this guy, and I forget his name, but he's kind of bald. And the special is like I think it's called You're Doing Fine.
Uh-huh. Oh, is it the thing on, wait, is it the guy's sort of, it's like a documentary, shot like a documentary or?
No, it's like stand-up.
Oh, okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's on Netflix, but it's this guy and he's just sort of like just random, just, you know, white dude, you know, and he's like just talking about like, you know, you're doing fine. And he's like, you know, the thing that really kind of stuck out to me that he said was
Mike Birbiglia.
Like, what is it?
Is it Mike Birbiglia?
No.
Tom Papa.
No. Oh, Tom Papa.
There we go. Thank you, Olivia.
Thanks, Olivia. Yeah.
So, sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's all good. So I was watching Tom Papa on You're Doing Great.
Great.
And he said this thing. He was like, the reason why you don't look like an Olympic athlete is because you're not an Olympic athlete. You're doing fine. Everything is fine. You know, we just like, I think that like just through media and just, I don't know, everything, we have these just insane expectations of ourselves, right? I am not John Bonham, but I love playing the drums and I'm not going to not play the drums because I can't play like John Bonham, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's fine. That's fine. You
know? Yeah.
Okay.
That's really great. I love that attitude. Brian, what instrument did you play when you were in a band?
You know what? I played the bass actually.
Oh, really? You too?
I'd love to get into it after these commercial messages that we're going to right now.
Only on Ball Talk.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
You might know me from the 7 years I spent as a cast member on Saturday Night Live. And since then, I've gone on to star in some of your favorite TV shows and films. And trust me, they're your favorite.
Favorite?
Okay, Jonah, please be cool.
And I'm a longtime music journalist with a fairly niche but very dedicated audience in the punk scene.
So, Alt, in our new podcast, How Did We Get Weird? We'll talk about our favorite snacks, shows, and obsessions from growing up up with some of our favorite friends, including comedians, musicians, and other A-list celebrities we want to brag that we're friends with.
Wow, Vanessa, you're friends with Minnie Driver?
Yeah. JK, but she is very cool.
We'll have fun and ultimately heartwarming discussions about our formative years and recall some unforgettable memories along the way.
Like the time the Jewish Federation called our house during dinner and our dad told them we had converted before hanging up on them.
Listen to How Did We Get Weird starting on September 27th from Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Jonah, that's your birthday, September 27th.
Yeah, that's my birthday. You gotta listen.
Hey, everybody. It's time for today's STEM tip. Want to know how to make your selfies even better? Okay, let's use science. The best time for photos is golden hour. That's the moment right before the sun sets, when the atmosphere scatters blue and violet wavelengths, making perfect, soft, and golden selfie light to show off that beautiful face of yours. Click. Check out She Can STEM for more inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
River Cafe Table 4 is a brand new podcast with me, Ruthie Rogers, founder and chef of the River Cafe in London.
I'm Rafe Fiennes, and I'm having an affair with the River Cafe.
From family suppers to first dates, each week I invite a special guest to discuss their food memories, what they cook, the restaurants they choose, and the food they seek when comfort is needed.
Years ago it was sausage and mash.
Yes.
Now it's caviar.
Oh, okay. And on each episode of River Cafe Table 4, guests like Paul McCartney, Glenn Close, David Beckham, Jake Gyllenhaal read their favorite recipe from one of my River Cafe cookbooks.
I'm Jake Gyllenhaal, and there is truly nothing like Ruthie's slow-cooked tomato sauce.
Listen to River Cafe Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys.
Those are commercials.
Back to the podcast.
Great, great.
Good. Really killed the energy.
That was a good transition.
But yeah, I'm the same way base wise. Like I embarked on doing, you know, I got to college, I put up a flyer, here are my influences, who wants to play with me? Went through some weirdos, found the weirdos I liked, and started on it. And then this local label that was literally some dude had a trust fund. It's like, I'm gonna do a label. He let us record some stuff, and then I sort of said, like, I guess I'm a musician now, even though I knew I wasn't. I sort of like started to commit myself to be this thing, and I had that thing where it's like the sort of reverse of what you're saying, where I doubled down on committing to something I didn't believe I was right at to try to force myself or to prove myself that I could be that good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it caused a lot of kind of like, not anxiety, but it was weird. It kind of, I had imposter syndrome during a lot of it, like as opposed to like just enjoying it. I'd be like, oh, this is this dumb, fun thing I'm doing. I kind of like
for the type of music you were playing?
Just for being a musician. Like my view of what a musician is someone who just, is, it sounds cheesy, but is music. They understand, they can emote it, they can hear it, mm-hmm. they can replicate it. I'm somebody who I love music and I love playing it like you, but I don't have the brain that just expresses it that way. I think mm-hmm. I express myself through comedy, but my brain wasn't doing the music stuff. But I really, because everybody's like, oh, Brian's in a band, he's a musician. I just like, I guess I'm a musician now.
I guess I better grow dreadlocks.
Yeah, I guess I grow dreadlocks and then lose my hair eventually. But it was like, this thing.
Like Salieri, right? Right?
Yes,
yeah.
That is a great metaphor.
Railing at God. Why did you give me this desire to play music and make me terrible?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of like it's like not. What you're saying. No, but it's like your thing, something you loved led you to something else that you love that became this whole world that you've kind of built. You know what I mean? Yeah. And for me, I really do trust that like playing music led me to and gave me skills and stuff that I employ and this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It all kind of adds up.
you're a performer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think going back, and you know what you said as far as going to school, I'm definitely going to tell my daughter when she goes to college, like, and I wish somebody had said this to me, you go to college, just go to college. Don't go and decide, like, I'm an English major, so I will be an English teacher. And then, you know, you don't sort of like determine your future. You go and sort of like,
yeah,
go to the buffet.
We do it wrong. You know, it's like, well, I don't understand. Like, you know, I wish that I'd taken a year off, you know, because I feel like when you graduate high school, you're still a dumbass, you know? And then like, yeah. Why are you going to like, you're going to go to college and you're just an older high school dumbass, right?
You one don't year
like,
older.
It's like been given
total freedom and that you don't know how, you're just like, I no, should
and you're
drink.
Like, I'm going to do all the drugs in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's awful. Like, you should take a year off and like work and travel and just like grow up a little bit. Like, I feel like if I went to college today, I probably wouldn't have as much fun as I did, but I would certainly learn more. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, my classes are all good, but I would be fascinated. I'd be like, oh, tell me more about the French Revolution. I don't know more. You know? Like,
totally. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I went to college for about 3 weeks and then dropped out. So I essentially took, and then I never went back. So I went for one quarter. So maybe that's like 6 weeks.
What made you, were you just like, I just can't hang in this environment? Or you just like,
I just was doing comedy already and was like, I don't want to, I just like doing comedy. So I'm not.
I love hearing like you're very sort of decisive or you seem to know what you wanted very early. I'm like the total opposite. It took me so long to go through all these.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I loved doing comedy since high school.
Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted to do it since, I mean, literally in second grade, I have a speech called Future Comedian where I said I was going to grow up and do
seriously?
Comedy. Yeah. I have it framed.
Wow. That's cool.
But I did all this stuff. I did all this stuff that kind of diverted me from it. And it was that thing of like the thing that I wanted to do. I think I was scared that I couldn't do it. So I,
right.
You know, and so then I, then I tried to do things I can't do with all my heart. And and that's how we ended up with Ball Talk.
But you know, being in a band, I think is really good for people. I think everybody should be in a band. One,
really?
Everybody should try to play music. You know, because it's just good for you. It's good for you to be able to express yourself, you know, in a nonverbal, you know, sort of way. But also just like being in a band and like collaborating with people and like, you know, working with other people towards a common goal, you know.
Navigating personalities, like.
Totally.
You know, like.
Yeah.
It really does.
What?
Yeah. Because it, and also you learn the extremes of it because a lot of those personalities in bands are like the worst.
Yeah. Like every, like the band I'm in now, Squad Rock, is like great. It's me and all my homies. We're like, hey, you guys want to play Jeremy? Yeah, let's play Jeremy. Awesome. And that's it.
That sounds so
like,
fun.
Every band that you're in that's like original music, it's just like, it's like having five girlfriends at the same time in the same room, you know? And it's like everybody is just, you know, somebody plays something. And it's like, oh, yeah, maybe if we try, no, I want to play like this. You don't want to be like, dude, that riff sucks. Just, it doesn't sound good. Let's move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to pretend you like it for a while.
Oh, man, it's the worst. Like, there's this really cool place in Baltimore. I don't know if it's still there, but it was a venue, but it was like super extra double secret. And it was called Orion Studios. And what it was there was a NASA engineer got laid off, got this insane severance package. So he built the dopest music studio you've ever seen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right?
NASA funded recording studio.
And it was in like this really gross industrial park. Right. Yeah. So it was like, it had a really weird vibe. It was kind of on the outskirts of town, but it was all like everybody who went there was like, it was all like people that were really into like Yes and Floyd and Toto, just all prog, right? All prog rock. And the band I was in at the time was like a really mathy, nerdy post-rock band, right? It's like no lyrics, just, you know, super weird time signatures.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, we love playing there because it was like, these are our people. This is like, those are the only shows that, like, people would actually come to. We play like the regular rock and roll clubs, and people are like, these dudes are weird. I thought the cake guy was going to play something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you know, it was a weird band.
I can't dance this. Like,
one time we went there, and our guitar player, who was a really strange dude, he, like, you know, it's like, we're like getting ready to go on. He's like, oh, I'll be right back. And he, like, goes to his car, and he comes back, and he's like, put on guy liner, and like, he's like, take it off his shirt. He's just wearing like a leather vest. And then, like, he, like, lit a candle and put it on top of his amp. And he was like drinking wine, like, out of the bottle. And we're like, what are you doing? Like, this is all like, it's like this crazy studio. And it's all like middle-aged white dudes sitting in, like, they bring their own lawn chairs and sit on the, you know, and just watch you play. Cause it's all super mathy, nerdy stuff. This isn't like, you know, we're not at the Forum. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just like super, it's like everybody else in the band was like,
what are you doing? Like,
are we doing troubadours? You know, like, it's a tribute to Neil Diamond. Sure,
you know, all right, man, do you?
That's insane. Yeah.
But it's good being in a band. You know, it really does. It teaches you, like, a lot of those skills. Like, especially like when you tour. I mean, like, you know, going on tour, it's just, that is just one of the, I'm glad I've done it. What the one of the most hellish, awful experiences I've ever gone through.
Yeah. I road dogged it for like a long time, and I did enjoy it, and I'm grateful for the experience, and I'm like, I never want to go on the road again.
Yeah, it loses its luster pretty quickly.
Once you're in the, like, ninth Motel 6 in a row, just totally, being like, I guess I'm eating beef jerky and Doritos from the only gas station around for dinner.
Hey, do we we've gotten off ball topic. I feel like maybe we should bring it back. Should we do our segment?
We have segments now. All right, let's do it.
Segment.
We got a segment.
Oh, we're really mixing it up.
Oh my gosh. We're coming this up is with very professional podcast.
Fill 10 seconds of the interview. It's pretty good.
So who's your, who's your audience here? Is it people that want to be bald and aren't yet?
We don't know.
Thus far, like, we have no idea. But thus far, in iHeartRadio, if you're listening, we totally know our audience.
We know what we're doing. It was a good decision to give us a podcast.
But the post that we've gotten is like, finally someone speaking up for us. So I assume when we get stuff like that, it's people who are bald or are going bald. And, you know, we're trying to say, like, if you're bald adjacent, if you have someone bald in your life, it's, you know, we're speaking to you too. And then also it's just like, and we do interviews with people. So you know, you take a little break from it.
The baldness is a segue. Man.
Yeah. The baldness is point. Always there. It's always there.
It's a gateway drug into better conversation.
All right. Bring us home, Charles.
All right. This segment is called
Segments for Duff Goldman is what the segment's called.
Can you name three bald chefs or bakers besides yourself and besides Tom Colicchio?
Oh man, it was really fun. Okay. Michael Simon.
Yep. Nice.
Let's see. Three?
Yeah. We'll give you Colicchio. You just need one more. We're giving you Colicchio.
Okay. Adriano Zumbo.
I'm going to believe you. I don't know.
Yeah, he's the Australian pastry chef. He's really, really, really cool.
Nice.
Cool. You're just trying to, like, get your meat hooks into my bald friend so you can have him on your podcast. Yeah.
Okay, here's the follow-up. Name three bald chefs you just named and give us their addresses and contact information.
We dressed it up as a segment. Also, is that a segment? I mean,
it's not a segment.
One question.
One question is not a segment. But this could be. So, you know, you come up with insane cakes. You come up with, you sort of push the boundaries of cake and baking and stuff. Can we come up with a cake or baked item that has bald in the name or a baldness is implied in the cake? And it has to not sound disgusting. You want people to eat it.
Yeah.
So
Bald batter. That's not good.
I mean, just whatever this would go, a vanilla baldy sounds pretty.
That sounds like a thing.
Right?
Yeah, it'd be like a vanilla baldy would be like, it's like a thumbprint cookie that has like a little perfect little dollop of vanilla pudding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like it. The vanilla baldy. Good invention.
A dozen vanilla baldies, please.
How about a hairless choco?
That's a choco cake with no icing.
I think I would leave any sort of reference to like the actual word hair
out of the food part of it.
Yeah.
You can't help but picture a hair being in it.
pistachio pate?
Oh, that's good.
Ooh.
And then people would be like, they would be like,
shorn shawarma.
No,
that's that shawarma meat on top.
We're making entrees based on. Okay, keep brain smoke. Oh god,
shorn shawarma. I love a vanilla baldy. That is great.
Oh man, if you make a vanilla baldy, please let us know.
Yeah. Yes, please send us some.
That'll be rad. If that ends up in bakeries around the country, we're like,
you're gonna be so mad.
I'm so mad.
I think Will Ferrell gets a taste of that since he produces this, right?
And I'm gonna be the old guy later. Like, I made that when I was old. It's so cold in here.
Mind if I turn the heat up? Well, Jeff, we're headed towards the end of the episode here. You got anything you want to plug? It's coming up, or anything you want to?
That was literally your segment.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pathetic.
Well, okay. I will. Can I just say we
that
also?
Was rough.
I think I like the full transparency of our show.
Yes.
Charlie has a big meeting after this that he has to get off the phone to do. So we're trying to make the window, but be very organic about it. So
I thought that was a stunning transition. You guys don't agree?
That was funny. You should do like, why don't you guys do like, what is your like baldness routine?
We've done that with some people.
At this point, we've asked all the questions of people, and we're just, today I enjoyed just not talking about bald all the time with you. But we will give you the opportunity to give some bald advice here at the end if you want to. Whatever it could be.
Bald advice?
I mean, it could be your routine.
Dude, I mean, as far as bald advice goes, it's like, all right, listener, check this out. If you have hair and you're just tired of it, shave it off. If you're going bald, just shave it off. Get yourself some clippers. Shave your head. You're going to shave your head. And it's like, the thing about shaving your head is there is nothing to hide. You are like, world, here I am. Right? Here
I am. It's very freeing.
It's super freeing. And it's like, God, hair is such a pain. You get up in the morning, you got to like do something to it. Like, dude, I don't even have to brush my teeth. People think I'm like super fresh, you know, like you're fine. I don't know. But listen, I personally am so pro bald. I love being bald. You know what? Think about this, right? Aliens are supposed to be like super, you know, we're like primitive life forms to aliens, right? You know, aliens that are out there, like that's the reason why we're not part of the galactic, you know,
Confederation
is because like we're so primitive. Though, like, those things got at least a million years evolving to go. If they don't blow themselves up and they make it past the nuclear crisis, you know, then like we'll let them in. Right. But when you see like all the drawings and all the pictures, have you ever in your entire life ever seen a picture of an alien with hair?
No, they're always bald.
No,
you're right.
What is it?
It is an impediment to our growth.
It is a throwback to when we lived in caves and we needed some kind of fur, and it was this thing. You don't need hair.
No, you have hats.
And this is coming from a man who is covered in hair.
Covered in it. I shave it off weekly. And I'm telling you, I don't need it. I'm fine.
That is the best advice to go out with. Shave it off, people.
Shave it off. Just shave it all off. It is very freeing.
Yeah. Def Goldman, that was a delight. Thanks for chatting with us.
Thanks for coming on Ball Talk.
And if you ever come back, we'll just do a full segment.
It'll episode. Be an hour long, just a segment.
Just relentless segments.
A little disappointing. Guys. Yeah.
We'll keep working on it. It's only like her 30th episode, so.
All right, bring us home, Charles.
All right, all you baldies and harrows out there listening, that was Duff Goldman. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Bald Talk Pod, and subscribe, download, rate, review from iTunes, the iHeart Radio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, stay bald.
Stay bald. Try a vanilla baldy. They're delicious.
Talk to Brian and Charlie, have a hairless party, and they are all there to invite you. No hairdos, no shampoos, interviews, only on Bald Talk.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and I'm the host of The Daily Dive, a daily news podcast covering some of the top stories of the day. Every morning, I'll connect you with the writers and journalists who know the story so you can stay up to date and make informed decisions. On the podcast, we'll give you the latest on the pandemic and vaccine mandates, keep you in the loop on the world of politics and how it affects you, and give you the lowdown on tech and entertainment. Catch a fresh episode of the podcast every Monday through Friday. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Listen to The Daily Dive on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get back to kissing the cheeks of my grandbabies, making Sunday dinner with a house full of family and lots of laughs.
COVID-19 has changed how we live and how we feel. But now there are vaccines, and they are the very first step that let us get back to what we miss most. It's okay to have questions.
Is it safe?
Should I wait?
Now, get the facts. Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org so you can make an informed decision when vaccines are available to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.